Now we better understand why we had so much difficulty starting that song, right, Abby? We love you, Deborah and Byron, praying for you, and that's our prayer, amen? That the Lord's will be done. Pray for your pastor. My family could tell you, but, you know, I'm trying to figure out about announcing that meeting for the trip, and there's a big note that was here in front of me. It says, all going to Boone, meet down front of church for a few minutes. So, whoa, there's my sign, amen? Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. Job, chapter 1, and verse 1. If you're physically able, would you stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's word? And I pray as we do this truly in honor of his word that our lives, our thoughts and our actions, our choices and how we live our lives, that will stand on his word this week and every day, amen. It's easy to stand this morning and honor it, but we live in a world where it gets more difficult every day because we're called to stand on his word in every situation that we hear about or we get involved in. So in Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the east. Look in verse 6. It says, now when there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves for the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And look in verse 8. The Bible would simply in verse 1 had described Job, but it really caught me this week in realizing here's God himself talking about Job. He said, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou hast made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Now if we look, beginning down in verse 18, it says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I and only I have escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that you tell us in the book of wisdom and Proverbs to lean not on our understanding. And so this morning, we lean not on our own understanding of Job and what happened, but we lean on your understanding. And Lord, we pray that you might teach us this morning from his life exactly what it is you'd have us understand from your word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. It's kind of a overwhelming, sad, disturbing. It's a book in the Bible that we all often will say, well, I'm thankful that Job is in the Bible. Anytime we're having trouble or things come, we'll just kind of, Tony kind of flippantly, well, remember Job. And for some weeks now, we've been talking about relationship with God. You know, what the Bible talks about and what God desires through Jesus Christ is a personal relationship with you. It's not about religion. It's not about church. It's not about the things we do or don't do, but it's simply that relationship. And we had read in Psalm 145:3, the past two Sundays, I guess, I'll read it to you again. It says, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, His greatness is unsearchable." And we found the word that there's a direct connection between our praise life. If we're praising Him inside and we're blessed by Him and thanking Him and living that life, then that kind of gives a temperature, a check of how our relationship is with Him. And there's quite a great distance, though, isn't there? Really, let's be honest. There's quite a great distance from a verse that says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, His greatness is unsearchable," to the passage I read you about Job, where Job is obviously a godly man that God recognizes and God describes and God loves. Satan, that adversary, and always remember, it's sometimes hard to wrap my mind around, but Satan, I'm thankful to know scripturally, Satan can do nothing to me or you that doesn't come through God, that he doesn't get permission from God. God is sovereign. God is in control. He is in control of everything. But we see in a play here, though, this prince of the air, the Bible talks about Satan, and the power that because of our fallen world and that sin brings upon itself in just as a result. But we see his power and his destruction. We see that wind coming in, and then all of a sudden, you have Job with seven sons and three daughters, and they're all killed as that wind blows the house down. That's impossible stuff. And do we want to look at a verse and say, "Great's God, greatly to praise Him," and then we quickly look at Job and how Job, you know, makes those statements of, "Hey, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be there." Job is praising Him, and that's awesome to know and understand. But here's where we find ourselves today, and if you will, here's where I find myself. All sounds good. I believe that. I know it's true. But what in the world happens if that happens to me, or happens to you? It's a wholly, totally different situation. Amen? It's one thing. I could get up here and I could preach this verse to you, and I could do chapter and verse, and I could explain it, and I could show you without any problem and very clearly how what Job did was right and how that's what we must do and how powerful God is and how great God is. But that'd be a little deceiving in that when I read this passage again, as I study it again, as I prepare today, I've got questions, amen? We have questions, amen? We know what's true, we know what I believe, but we have questions, and that's why we have the Word of God, and that's why God says He wants us to draw closer to the relationship with Him. I think I may have said last Sunday, or I've said several times, in Jesus Christ, what God has allowed us to do is to be prepared for death. I'm prepared to die in that I realize that I was a sinner. I realize there's so many things that I did that I shouldn't do, and there's so many things that I should do as a servant of God and as a child of God that I didn't do. And I realize that great need and realize that Jesus died for me. Jesus died for us. He died for our sins, and I accepted that free gift of salvation, surrendered my life to Him, trusting Him, and in that was my preparation. And really, and the statement I've heard for all my life really is true, you're not prepared to live until you're prepared to die, and that comes scripturally, so we're prepared. Now, am I ready to die today? Am I ready just looking forward to go right now? No, absolutely not. Man, opportunity to grab up my granddaughter and enjoy her in church and finish with her here in the choir sing. And, man, all the great blessings of God. And just, we got a trip next Saturday, Miss Loretta, we're looking forward to. So ready to go, no, but prepared. But one thing I want you to think about this morning in Job's life and as we begin to dive in here this morning is this. We must be prepared to die. If you're not prepared to die today, If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are not prepared for anything. Not prepared for anything. So it's one thing to be prepared, and we have to focus on individuals being prepared, but here's another thought. God shows us through the life of Job, and God wants us to be prepared for others to die. Think about that. God really desires, God understands much more about death and life and everything than we do. And so as I begin to study, I realize it's as we continue to keep the focus and the priority on us being prepared, we also, God is wanting us to be prepared for others to die. And not just prepared emotionally that we can handle it and that we can go through it, but be living in a such a way that really that same spotlight and focus becomes the only way we can be prepared for anyone else to die, but especially those we love and care about are those that God, you know, are placing in your life, that the only way they can be prepared, only we can be prepared, David, is if we know that they know Jesus, that we're sharing that. David testified in Sunday school of someone that just recently got saved at an older age, and he made a statement, I'm surprised. Didn't really realize he was lost. We never know. So it's the question, it's the focus, and now we're, not only can David say he's prepared to die, but he knows someone he knows is prepared to die. So this morning, what I want to try to do and be very vulnerable and be very honest through scriptures to understand what was it that had prepared Job to be able to make the statements and do what he did. I want to draw your attention to something very quickly before we go any further. I want you to look in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2 and verse 13. You need to see this. Remember, all the Bible's connected from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation. All the Bible goes together. And so, once again, we can't stop. And Job said, well, bless the Lord. You know, well, man, what a... Well, Job, I don't know if I could feel that way. I'm saying, I don't know if I could feel that way when it happened. Blessed be the Lord. And just go on with life. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. So his three friends have come because they've heard what's happened. It says, so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights. None spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. I'm thankful for that verse. Amen, Dickie? Boy, that God is telling us that about Job. And this, he said, in this situation, that Job had a grief, and his grief was very great. Now, I understand that. Now, I know that'd be true. Amen? Someone, my children, something happened today and they die. Someone in the church family dies. Someone, you know, that some tragic accident happens. And I think of just in the last, that been many days. It seemed like in our family we'd relate, and we spent a lot of time on the road. Sandra will travel to work and do family things. Hilton's on the road up to college, and Brooke's on the road up to the hospital as a nurse, and I'm on the road as a pastor of the hospital and around for things. So a lot of wrecks going on, and many of you heard about the wreck there on 200 where the precious family had pulled out. And you know, and I tell you, you can say, well, how did that happen, or how do you do it? I tell you exactly how it happened. I've done it, and I believe if you say you've never done it, you just didn't realize you did it. Amen? The other day, me and Hilton were in the car, and I pulled out, and he said, Daddy, did you not see that vehicle? And I didn't. Chris, honestly, I had looked both ways. I thought I'd done everything I needed to do. I didn't. We're human. We're flesh. We're distracted. And we can be, and that's why we don't need to be on our phones talking or texting or whatever, because we are just distracted in life. Amen? It's distracted in life, so it can happen to any of us. I told on Wednesday night, kind of the revealing God has shown me. I'm standing in a mechanic shop. When the mechanics comes up, it's a few days later. He said, "Oh, I connected to someone I know at the store up the road. It was the man's daughter. Her daughter had just had a child recently and come down to visit the child. Some of y'all may know them better than I do, know the story better than I. So if I'm mixing it up, I'm sharing it, but I think it's important to share. But had come to see the baby and they were leaving and going to go on a cruise. But you know, it's one thing to hear about a wreck and the tragedy of death, but to hear the backstory, the moms, the babies, the plans and all the things we have, the tragedy that goes on. So we know for that family, we pray for that family as well, because their grief is very great. Your grief may still be very great this morning for something that's that's happening right now in your life. It doesn't have to be death. It doesn't have to be tragedy. You can just be grieving for your circumstances. And maybe it's something that's just going on and on, and you're just tired of being tired. And you're just, or maybe it is that you have lost someone and that you just have never been able to kind of get back where you'd like to be. Or more importantly, maybe it's where God would like to get you back. And it's okay. I'm thankful because the Word of God says, and I believe that when we have a grief, and we have troubled hearts, that Jesus is the one that cares for us, but he wants us to know, first of all, and not minimize how great our sorrow and grief can be at times, amen, and how they can go on. So we're going to look at Job's life today and try to understand that better. Now, you know, just to add to it, so to my questions in my life, okay, God, I want to understand Job's life. I want to be prepared not only for when I die, I want to be prepared for others to die. I want to be passionate about sharing Jesus Christ. I want to be focused on that preparation. But God, I often think, what will I do? What will I do? Don Thompson, Pastor Don was my pastor at Love Baptist in Monterey. He was my pastor when I became into ministry. And I've said often, especially on Wednesday night, we've been on Wednesday night and we're having Bible study and we're teaching the Bible. And Don would do the same. And every once in a while, he'd stop. And he'd share some great truth like we see in the Bible. And he'd stop and he'd say, now I pray and I hope that I can do this when it happens to me. He said, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel. I'm not sure how I'm going to react. I'm not sure what's going to go on. And so I join and I share the same thing this morning. That's where my heart's at, Aaron. I want to be honest enough and vulnerable enough to not just preach scripture to you and just say what I'm supposed to say, but to be honest in how difficult things can be in this life. Amen. And when tragedy can come. So I'm finished up, you know, and I try in the morning, especially on Sunday morning, I want to get a little time in my study, and I go and I'm going over my notes and I'm getting ready, and thank God it was one of those Sunday mornings that God didn't throw everything away and make me change my message, and I'm going over things and I'm thinking, man, I think it's be pretty good, you know, y'all all right? I mean, you know, hey, don't you want church be pretty good? I'm pretty you know, so I flip over and I used to get the paper, and maybe some of you still get the paper and read the headlines. Why? Doing the internet and went to get the headlines and read a few headlines, and boy, there's some headlines, amen. Plenty of things to be afraid of. And let me just help you with one headline I've got. Be assured and be promised of this. If North Korea launches a bomb and it blows up anywhere, even here, I want to assure you that it's just like with Job. God gave it permission. God allowed it. Don't be scared of North Korea. Don't be scared of how we react to what's going on. God is in control. Amen. And if God allows that to happen, it'll be God's will. Okay? Y'all all right? I'm just telling you, that's got to simplify it that way and got to go on. I look down, and here's a little article. Couple's forgiveness after drunk driver kills daughters. I mean, that's timely, God. So I read this article, and there's this precious couple. Two daughters. I'd mentioned, I think on Wednesday night, if not last Sunday, about Greg Laurie, an evangelist, kind of, I think, carrying on some of the work of Billy Graham. And then there's Louis Palouse, another evangelist, kind of carrying on the work of Billy Graham. They had just come from a Louis Palouse. If you would think of, just for your mind, picture Billy Graham event, stadium full, sharing Jesus. That's what kind of event it was. And they had just left that event. Riding down the road, and as they're going down the road, Suburban comes, runs stoplight or stop sign, plows into them, kills their two daughters, seriously injures both of them to the point they don't even know what happened. It's later on in the hospital, they find out what's going on. One of the first statements is the mother, when she's finding out from a friend at the hospital, note the mother asked, said, it's, are my babies, now these were older girls, okay, are my babies with Jesus? And the friend said, they are. And she said, oh, God's good. So I read that and I'm like, okay, I want to answer that. I want to get it right if I'm there. But how hard that'd be. You read on in the article about how the husband and wife both went through all those emotions of, well, I guess God's not in control and God couldn't have stopped it. And then they realized, well, yes, all these emotions went on. And I was so thankful because it's so real. So what God is trying to explain to us through Job's life is there's so much that we'll go through. The grief will be great, but there's ways we can respond. But we want to be prepared for what's happening coming our way. Amen? People will prepare financially. They'll prepare, put, you know, stuff back financially. A lot of people prepare for a disaster. Many of you are probably more prepared. I wonder who you are if we do have a disaster and the power goes off and everything, because I want to come hang out with you. Because I read one article about how much food you need to put away to, you know, have. And I thought, that'd be neat to have all that food. And then all of a sudden I realized, Miss Linda, what me and Sandra do, we give it all away. Because it's the neighbors and y'all call, then most of you like us ain't prepared that much, you know. My mama, by herself, bless her heart, Miss Bonnie, my mama said she was thinking about the storm. She said, well, my goodness, more than I eat or more I have, I probably got enough to go a month. And I'm thinking, no, you ain't, mama, because we'll be here, be gone 3 days. But I'm telling you, we give it all away, amen. So what good would it have a big stockpile, amen? But I think maybe God would like, you and I to put a little bit more time on being prepared for what's coming our way this afternoon and tomorrow. The good, the great, the greatness where we say, oh, God's great and I'm praising Him, the great that's coming, or the disasters that are coming. I think that God would have us be a little more prepared, amen? But here the couple, here the story goes on. The girl who had hit them, severely injured them, killed their daughters. They had been so blessed as it went through smoothly through the court systems. They never had to see the person that had been involved. The girl went away to prison. It's been 7 years. She's getting ready to get out. And the parents call and say, we want to meet her. I'm telling you how I'm feeling reading it. See, I've just heard it's happened. Okay? I've just heard it's happened. They want to meet her because God had done such a work. God had prepared them even before the girls had died. God had prepared them even before this. And they meet this girl's name's Lisa. She was high on meth, cocaine, and she was drunk when she did it. And in prison, she found Jesus Christ. They met her and some of you are going to say, what news feed did you pull that up on? You know, they met with the parole officer, met with her, and the parole officer said he had never seen anything like it in his life. And he also had faith in Jesus and referred, his comment was, it was only something that a faith and relationship in Jesus Christ could have done. Lisa and these two parents go and share their testimony. But how many of us and how many people have been through tragedies and things that happened and we weren't prepared? We're still not prepared in the effect it has. Well, it's obvious as we're diving into this morning, there's just so much that I think God wants us to look at, and there's so little time that we really have that I want to try to pull this together, if you would, kind of like a little introduction of where we're going. And even before I give you this introduction, I want to encourage you to do this. I really want to encourage you to continue to those two questions. I give you the first one, and if you're visiting with us, I'll catch you right up. The first question simply is continue to ask God. Because I'm telling you, it is impacting my life as I read the scripture, as I pray and study like nothing else. The question still is, are you experiencing the personal relationship with Jesus Christ that He wants to experience with you, okay? Not the one that mom and daddy or the church or the preacher or the most spiritual person you know, or not what you think it should be. The real question that you're asking Him, and I can't answer it, are you having that relationship with Him? The second question we kind of began to have in the last two Sundays is my praise life where it needs to be? And we've been saying just inside. I'm not saying that you're hallelujah, you praised Him outward, and that's important too, but how's your praise life inside? And so connecting that together, because there's no way we can talk about real life and the Bible and our relationship and talk about our praise time. I think it's why God's bringing us to times like this that can happen in life. So I challenge you to do this week. The book of Job. Read the book of Job. I want to ask you to do this. I want to encourage you that sometime during this week, it's a short book, will not take you long, read the book of Job. Some of you made it read it a couple of times. I heard a pastor say one time that when he was getting ready to preach over a certain section, that he would read that section of the Bible, that chapter of that book, for like a month before he'd ever begin to even get ready to study whatever. So it's just a good, so you might read it several times. But I encourage you to do this. Not only read the book of Job with me, but also begin to ask those questions. And also begin to be honest with God in your prayer time as you read how what you think about what's going on and how you think that honestly you'd probably react or what would go on. And read the book of Job and do it, if you would, not in simply reading, but the Bible really guides us and talks of meditating on the scriptures. But I want us to look at, because I really believe the only way we can move forward in a great relationship with a great God, which is true, and the only way we can be prepared to win souls and do what he wants to, we got to be prepared for these things that are going to come in our life, because we live in a fallen world, in a sinful world, and Satan is an enemy, and there's an adversary, and God is sending tests, and God is there, and ultimately, so we get the point. And so I'm thankful to know in that mama's life that her one of her first thoughts was God was good, because hey, listen, no matter how tragic the death would be, I am so thankful to know that my children all know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, have a relationship with him. It's evident they're not saved because of the preacher's children, but I know that, and Adelaide's safe until she gets old enough to understand. So that's a great feeling to have, that I'll be able to say that. Hey, that's a great thing. Because apart from that hope, what would there be? Amen? But to know that to be in heaven, and to know to be with Jesus Christ, and I'd immediately be thinking about stuff that, Brooke, you never have to worry about work and the headaches at work, and you never have to be another class, take another test, and I'm thinking, hey, I'll be there soon. So I can see, but I'm thankful in that testimony they talked about all the struggles they go through. So as you read the book of Job, and as we go through, at least through next Sunday, we're going to be understanding and asking God to help us understand how it is to be prepared. And what we'll do that, like I said, I'm just going to give it to you and we'll dive in next Sunday. It's what God said about Job. Look there, it's in verse 1, but really look in verse 8, because it's God speaking specifically. And it says that he was perfect and upright. And you say, well, that leaves me out, preacher. I'm doomed. I'm not prepared at all because there's not perfect anything in me. I'd agree. Amen. There is nothing perfect I see in any of y'all. I looked in the mirror this morning. There's nothing perfect in me. Amen. Not what the word means. It means complete. Some of you are thinking, well, I'd like to have a perfect husband or a perfect wife. I'd like to have a perfect child. But, hey, what it means is to be complete. He was complete in Jesus Christ. You said, well, Jesus weren't born. Oh, yes, he was. Okay. So he was just complete. The second thing that God says about Job is God says, if you would, he feared me. He feared me. All you've got to do is turn on the TV, turn on the radio, look on the internet, look at what the news people say, look what the stars say, look at what the politicians say. You look at all that's going on every day in our world. And one thing I can guarantee you, you're listening to most people that aren't complete in Christ, and they have absolutely no fear of God. Amen? Amen. No fear of God. No fear whatsoever of God. And what we're going to dive in next Sunday, what we're going to look at is fearing God, and we're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to gloss over it and say, well, that's just having a respect for God, and it, yes, it is, and that's all those things that he put away. No, I'm thankful this morning that what I believe I experienced in trying to study this passage and being honest with you is that I realized, man, I started to get the chills studying. I started thinking about, I got one just then thinking about, man, I do fear. I don't, when Satan comes before God, I would rather God not say, have you considered Jeff? Amen? That's what I'm thinking. Amen? And I know there's plenty of preachers that would disagree with me and stand up in the pulpit this morning and say, bless God, bring it on. But I'm telling you what, that's not real, y'all. That's not real. I'm looking, man, God, I fear God that you have that power, that you can allow that to happen. That same great power that created the world and created heaven we're going to one day and all the great, well, what, man, I fear what can happen, God. I fear what can happen if I'm not prepared for each and every time I stand this pulpit. But more important than ever being prepared to stand in here is when my children and my wife, when we go through the daily parts of life, if I'm not prepared to answer and react and live in the appropriate way, what may happen? God, I fear God for what I can do to hurt my family, to hurt this church. Amen? That every one of you are the same way. Man, I fear the power that God has and who God is. There's a third thing that he says about him. He said he eschewed evil. Let me get what the literal translation, and we'll dig in that soon. The literal translation of eschewed evil, eschewed means to turn it off. Wouldn't you like to be able to turn off? You know, we really can do that. You can shut the computer down, shut the phone off, and you can turn off some of that evil. You can turn off going to play, but it's much more than that. Job, because he was finding his completeness and his wholeness in the Lord, and because he feared God, and the fear of God is still a great thing, just like the word no is still a great thing. I tell you all the time, God said no, mom and daddy said no, wife said no, bosses I've worked for said no. No's still a good word, amen? And we live in a world, you tell somebody now no to anything, you've done something wrong. Because we need to be tolerable, and we need to be understanding, and we need to be accepting. Well, I tell you one thing, God's not. God's not. And God's going to turn evil off one day. Isn't that wonderful, y'all? God's going to turn it off one day. And what Job, so remember talking about Job being prepared for what's coming? He was like, man, I got to be, my completeness is in God and nothing else. And God, I fear you. And so, and we don't even have listings of all the evil things he turned off, but it's not hard for me to read this and begin to understand it. So I'm asking you to read with me this week and begin to understand, man, you know, I'm thankful. What I'd rather do is I'd love to get up here and just tell you the evil things I've turned off in my life. Praise God, I don't do this anymore. And praise God, I don't do that anymore. But what I'm not dare going to share with you is what I hadn't turned off. Right? The evil thoughts. The evil things. So in those ways, we become not prepared. Those are the three things you see immediately that he did. And we'll look at a fourth one of them. Somebody saying, preacher, you'll never get through one of those next Sunday. Well, okay, all right, y'all know me pretty well. But there's a fourth thing that you find there. Don't miss this. Verse 1 was biblically the word of God describing Job. Verse 8 was like quotations. If you will, we got the words of Jesus in reds, whatever, if we put the words of God in blue in verse 8. Look how he started it off. Y'all looking at me, look at the Bible. What's verse 8? How does he start off? Before he describes him, how does he start off? He calls him something. He says, my servant. My servant. He was complete in God. He feared God. He was turning off the evil around him in his life, and he was a servant. Would you bow with me? Lord, I pray you'll help us. Lord, I pray you'll help us as a church family, Lord, to read Job together. Lord, I pray that you'll make it be a priority. And begin with me, dear God, that I'll make it a priority, Lord, to read and meditate on Job as a whole and not just simply focus on the things I really do believe we'll focus on next Sunday. Lord, I pray you'll speak loudly and clearly to grief, present grief, past grief. Lord, help us to understand in Job. Lord, help us with that question. Is our relationship where you want it to be and what you want it to be? God, how is our praise life? And Lord, that we're dealing with some heartache and heavy subjects so we can really understand and be prepared. Along those same lines as being prepared but not ready, Lord. I want to be prepared. But Lord, I don't think I'm ever ready for what can come. So help us, Lord. Maybe this morning you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. There's never been a day and a time where you turn from yourself and your sin and you surrender to begin to live for Him. Oh, I pray this would be the morning. We're going to begin to sing a song in a moment together and stand, and you'll be able to simply leave your seat, leave the old self, if you're in that sin behind, and let us open the Scripture. You might just want to come to an altar. You've been ready. You're even ready now, and you just want to surrender your life, believing that Jesus died for you, inviting Him into your life to forgive you and live as His servant. You can do that here at the altar. You can do it in your seat. That's the greatest need, to be prepared today. How about it, Christian? Maybe you have grief you're dealing with, and maybe you've been through a lot of things, and you realize just on the surface what looked at Job, that you weren't really prepared, but you want to be prepared. You want to be prepared to read, let God speak to you, and be prepared for next Sunday, and be prepared for what may happen this week. Then maybe just come to the altar and let Him begin. I think there's great pictures. I often get on my knees at home, alone or here, that, Lord, that's that fear of You and that awesomeness of You, that great God. Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe God wants you to be part of our church family. That's a preparation to help you, to help us. We open our doors and invite you. Be obedient to God this morning. Do what He's calling you to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.